went up straightway from the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove, and coming upon him. And lo, a voice out of the heavens saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now John chapter 1. John chapter 1, starting at verse 47. This is Nathanael, who has been brought to the Lord Jesus, and as he sees the Savior for the first time, verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered him and said, Before Philip called thee, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee underneath the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than thee. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye shall see the heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Let us speak to the Lord again in prayer. Now, Father, we are thankful that in this world in which we find ourselves, we are still able to sing, we are able to read of another place to which we can go apart from this world. And we are thankful for this book that was placed in our hands that tells us about that place. We are thankful, our Father, that there is a place in heaven to which those who love thy Son can go. We are glad for the scriptures that we've heard this morning about fellowship among the people of God, and sad to say, some who are to be excluded from fellowship, welcome him not into thy house. But we are thankful, our Father, that this morning, from thy word, we have read what thou dost say concerning thy Son from heaven. So let the truth enter into our hearts, and may it bear fruit, and make us the men and women of God that we should be. Thou knowest our sins, we confess them, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse. Prepare hearts and empower lips, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. For the last two Lord's days, I spoke to you about the divine attributes of Christ and the human attributes of Christ. And I wondered where to go after that. But the key was given from the message I brought to you Wednesday night, which contained something identical in the two portions I read to you this morning. It was this. Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. So Stephen in Acts chapter 7 said, I see the heavens open. And I remembered that some 30 years ago, I gave messages on the open heaven. When I first started out preaching to Peter Pell, I was way up in Canada, and after 30 years, that's not too soon to tell you the same message again, is it? Once every 30 years? So what we had in Acts chapter 7 was the fact of the heaven being open. Now, nobody but Stephen saw those heavens. In the portion that we read concerning the baptism of our Savior, from all that is contained there, the only ones who saw the heavens open were John the Baptist and our Lord. And in the portion that I read to you from John's Gospel, it is simply a promise about heaven being open. Now, there are other portions telling about these open heavens, but I want to dwell particularly on the two portions I read to you this morning, and bring together also that third portion that I read to you last prayer meeting evening. And so it's this, the open heaven. What significance do you place upon the fact that in the New Testament you read about the heavens being open? Well, let me challenge you this way. If I offered you any reward that you desired, could you tell me any reference in the Old Testament where you read about the heavens being open? Of course you couldn't, except one. But when you read in Ezekiel about the heavens being open, the heavens are open and the judgment of God is coming out of the heavens. Who wants to see the heavens open if when they are open, you see God in his wrath coming down upon man? And so, for this reason, in the Old Testament, except in judgment, the heavens are closed. Man looks heavenward, and the heavens are closed. And so this is despair, and this is hopelessness, and that is the attitude of the Old Testament as a whole. I'll tell you why. It started out with the creation of man in a garden, and the garden was open. Man and his wife could walk anywhere they wanted to in the garden, and God would come at evening in the cool of the day and fellowship with man. But man sinned, and he was driven out of the garden, and the door was shut, and angelic beings were placed there to keep man out of the garden. And so for the first time, here is a picture of heaven, all communication, all intercourse with God being shut. And not only is man not able to get back in, God has seen to it that he cannot get back in. And so the heaven, all communion with God, has been closed from the time that sin entered into the world. You say, but there was a tabernacle. What about that? Why, it tells us in Hebrews that even in that tabernacle, there was a veil placed between the worshipers of God and God himself in the Holy of Holies. And only one man could get in. And that was on the Day of Atonement. Everything was shut. The garden was shut. Even though man is seeking to have access to God, that way is shut. And throughout the Old Testament, everything is cut off from fellowship with God, except for rare occurrences that are anticipated of what I've read to you in the New Testament. So think of this. You have a shut garden. You have a shut tabernacle. All communication with God is shut except for a high priest that once in the year can go into the presence of God. And this is the picture that lies before us until the Lord Jesus, about 30 years of age, comes on the scene. He's been on earth in Nazareth, working as a carpenter, and then about 30 years of age, he presents himself to John the Baptist, and he says, I want you to baptize me. John would forbid this baptism, but he said, thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And so John accepted his offer to baptize him. And as he baptized our Savior, as he came up out of the water, it says, the heavens were opened unto him, and the Spirit of God in bodily form as a dove descended out of heaven, and it lighted upon him, and lo, a voice came out of heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, think of the first Son on earth, and what God said to him, and then think of the last Adam, because the word Adam means man. Think of the last man, representative of the human race, and what God said to him. When God speaks to Adam, he says, what have you done? And then because he has disobeyed God, God says, because you have not obeyed my command and you have eaten of the tree that I commanded you not to eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil shall you eat of it all your life. You'll get the fruit out it from the sweat of your face until you return unto the ground from which you were taken, because dust you are, and unto dust shalt thou return. And that's the message of God to Adam, and it is representative of what God says to you. We're all under a curse. Cursed is everyone who continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. And I know no man, save Christ, who has ever kept those laws of God. And so man is under a curse. But now, the Lord Jesus comes upon the scene, and the first Adam who has been shut out, and upon whom a curse has been pronounced, now has another representative, because the Lord Jesus is a descendant from Adam, sin apart. And when he comes upon the scene, and he desires to serve God at his public manifestation, it says these heavens that have been shut for thousands of years, it says in Luke's Gospel that they are rent asunder, and God looks down from heaven, sends forth his Spirit in bodily form as a dove, and then speaks these words concerning the last Adam. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So, at last, the way into the presence of God has been opened again, and the way to the presence of God is Jesus Christ our Lord. If anyone would depend upon any son of Adam apart from Christ, he's under a curse. What man are you trusting in to get you to heaven? There's no man who can get you there. Who can get you to heaven who is under a curse the same way you are? Here is a man who has the same sinful nature and the same pronouncement of God, of alienation upon him. And you say, I'm trusting in this man to get me to heaven. How? He can't get himself to heaven. How is he going to get you to heaven? But if there is a man that God has spoken out from heaven and he says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, and he tells you, I can get you to heaven, is not he the one to trust? And so this is what God wants us to do. God wants us to take delight and pleasure in the same man that he honors and takes pleasure in. That is his Son. All right. What we have is the fulfillment of the fact that Christ promised in John chapter 1. He told Nathanael, he said, from now on, you're going to see the heaven open. What does it mean? Christ knew that the heaven had been shut, that there was no bridge between earth and heaven. There was no way for man to get to heaven. There was no way for God to come down to man except what God had shown us in picture, in symbol, and in type in the Old Testament. But now the Lord Jesus Christ comes upon the scene and he says to Nathanael, from now on, you are going to see the heaven open. And the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And so at last, the garden that was shut from the day that man sinned, now there is admission into that garden again, into the presence of God, and all that man lost in Adam can be recovered in Christ and more besides. Because the location from which Adam was driven was a place on earth. But the new location to which Christ invites us is heaven itself. And the heavens are open. And so our Savior coming to earth has made it possible for us not only to walk any place on earth in communion with God. No angels now barring communion between God and man. But he has made it possible for us to enter heaven itself. And it's all the cause of a man. Let me ask you this. When it says, you shall see the heavens open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man, what thought comes to your mind? You say, well, perhaps a ladder? Here is earth, and here is heaven, and angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. That is the concept that God has given to us. If you have a river, and you have land on this side and land on the other side, then there is a bridge. And the Lord Jesus is spoken of in many ways in Scripture, and he's not to be thought of in a literal sense as a ladder. when the Lord Jesus said, I am the door, do you think of him as a piece of wood, 6 or 7 feet tall and 4 feet wide? Do you think of it? You say, no, that's foolish. When the Bible says, behold, the Lamb of God, do you think of a four-legged dumb animal? You say, no, it's all figurative language. It is expressive of something that has a spiritual significance, of course. And so what the Lord Jesus is telling us here is that spiritually, man is alienated from God, the earth is cursed, and heaven is holy, and God is holy, and man is sinful, and there is no way for light and darkness to commune together, right and wrong to be together. But the Lord Jesus said, because I've come to earth, now there can be communion between earth and heaven. What does it mean? It simply means this, put in language that we can understand, that there is no way for sinners to get back to the presence of God apart from Christ. It's like a deep, roaring river, and you have to get to the other side, and there's no bridge. But Christ would say, I am the bridge. You can cross over me to the other side. And it's like sinners saying, I want to go to heaven, but there's no way to get there. The Lord Jesus said, yes, there is. He said, I am a ladder. Climb up me, and you can get to heaven. You say, of course. The Lord Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. So, what does it mean? It means that there is an entrance into the presence of God, and the only entrance is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what he's talking about in Scripture. So, this is what thrills our heart. This morning, if I want to commune with God, I do not have to go to the entrance of the presence of God and find the door shut, and angelic beings with a sword turning every which way to keep me out of the presence of God. But when I go there, I find a door open, and the Lord Jesus says, I am the door. And if I want to get to heaven, there is a ladder upon which I can climb, and I have access to the Father in heaven. And it says this, because I told you about it, making it understandable about your having communion with God. But what it says in John chapter 1 is this, you shall see the heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now, angels are God's messengers. Just as a person in an important position as those that are under him, and he gives them a command, and they go and carry out his command. So in like manner, God has his myriad of angels. And when you and I, as God's creatures, cry to God, it says in Hebrews, angels are ministering spirits sent forth to do service to the heirs of salvation. So think of this. Here am I, and I pray to God. Here are angelic beings, and this is the picture of it. Here is a communication with God, and it goes up the ladder. Here is a need, because God fulfills our need at times through angels. And here is an angel going up to God with our petition, and here is that petition fulfilled, and now that angel comes down from heaven with the answer to that petition, and the Lord Jesus says, it's all because of me. You shall see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. It simply means this. They are God's messengers, and what we need, inasmuch as they are the servants of the heirs of salvation, they commune with God, and the Lord Jesus said, they are always in the presence of God, beholding the face of my Father. And so here are angels, and God sends the answer to your prayer through these angels to earth. And the Lord Jesus says, this is the way it's going to be from now on. All right, here is what we see. Nobody knew about the heaven being opened when Christ was baptized, except the Savior himself and John the Baptist. We are not told that anybody was standing around. The Lord Jesus was there with John the Baptist. And if they were standing around, it may very well have been as when the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, when the Lord Jesus appeared to him, he is the only one who saw and heard, the others were aware that something was going on, but they were unable to comprehend. But the one with whom God is communing, he is able to understand. And so when Christ is baptized in the river Jordan, then the heavens are open. But as far as God tells us, the only one who sees those heavens open are John the Baptist and our Savior. But there was a promise in John chapter 1 that this isolated event that took place in the Jordan River is now going to be not the exception, but it's going to be the rule. Our Savior has made the promise. You shall see the heavens open. Already they had been opened as a fact when he was baptized. And he says, from now on, you're going to see the heavens open. It's not going to be a unique thing, but it's going to be a common occurrence when sinners cry to God for salvation, and when God's children cry to Father, give us this day our daily bread. God is listening, and God sends forth his servant in answer to our prayers, and the Lord Jesus says it's going to be a common occurrence. Well now, here is something that you have to take by faith, because as far as I know, I've never seen heaven open, and I've never seen a ladder, and I've never seen a door. I've seen none of those things with my natural eyes. And yet, spiritually in my heart, I have seen these things, because I have cried to God as a sinner, and God has heard me, and God has sent forth salvation to me. Down that ladder, the Lord Jesus Christ, that heaven that I wanted but had no way to get there. But God has found a way who is in heaven. He has found a way to get down to man, and that way is Jesus Christ the Lord. This is the way it's put in Timothy. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And so the Lord Jesus is the bridge between heaven and earth. He's the ladder between heaven and earth. He is the door into the presence of God, and everything that was lost in Adam has been regained by Christ and more. And now he says, it is not something that is permitted to one man on the Day of Atonement, like Aaron the high priest. But now the heavens are open, and there shall be a continual going and coming, and intercourse and a communion with God from this day forward. That is the dependency that you have upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Without him, there is no open heaven. With him, there is heaven open continually. And so our hearts are encouraged. What does it mean? It means that if in the time of Adam I had gone to the garden and had wanted to enter it again, there would have been a flame of fire saying, stay out. But now, as a guilty sinner, if I want to enter the presence of God, the heavens are open, and God says, come in. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And this is the marvel, that whereas man himself could not get back to God, God himself could not come down to man without his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Who are those that say God can forgive sins on no basis? There must be a righteous basis upon which God can forgive sins, and that righteous basis is Jesus Christ our Lord. And the fact that Christ spoke the truth would be testified to by Stephen. Why? Because just before Stephen died, he said, I see the heavens open, and I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. So, what happened at the baptism of Christ, what was promised to Nathanael in John chapter 1, now is experienced in the heart of a believer in Acts chapter 7. And so all of these things are so. God, because of his Son, began it all. Because God has begun it in his Son, the Son can make promises to whosoever will that can take the water of life freely. He tells mankind that heavens are open, that a door is open, that sinners are welcome to come and be forgiven. And the Lord Jesus says, this is the way that it is going to be. And what is of the greatest importance is that this is not something that we experience once, and that is the end. But it says the heavens are going to be permanently open. They're open, and there shall be the continual going and coming of the angels of God, our petitions going up and the blessings of God coming down. So what does it mean? It means this, that some poor sinners cry to God, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and God forgives. And then they say, God has done enough. I'm not worthy to receive more. But this is not the thought that Christ has in mind. He wants us, having once called upon the Lord, to continue to call upon the Lord. And just as Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the evening in the garden, day after day after day, well, that is what God wants now. He does not want us to call upon Him one time and think that we have exhausted the mercy and the goodness of God. He wants us to call upon Him continually, and that is why Christ says, I am that ladder, and you will see the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. All right, what causes a man to believe that? It's an act of faith. Let me give you two illustrations. One of them, believe because of sight, but Stephen believed because of sight, but Nathanael believed because of speech. Think of this now. Stephen, I read you, Nathanael, I read you about in John chapter 1, when Philip said, I want you to come and meet Jesus of Nazareth. Nathanael said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? What hope would a skeptic ever have of becoming a child of God? Well, let's see. The answer that Philip gave was this, you come and see Him. And that's the best answer and the only answer to give when sinners say, why, what good could come out of Palestine, a Jew that was a carpenter? What good can be found in him? I challenge all men, you come and see. You personally examine. And so here is Nathanael. And as Nathanael is coming to examine the Lord Jesus Christ and find if what Philip says about Him is true, as he does, the Lord Jesus says, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile. And Nathanael says to Him, how do you know me? And the Lord Jesus just says this one thing. He said, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And this skeptic who had asked, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? He said, my great teacher. He said, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. How would he know that? Because he understood from Christ's perception of his innermost being that he was standing in the presence of the Son of God. Thomas, when he was told that Christ was risen from the dead, he said, I will not believe. And so the Lord Jesus said, Thomas, on the day after his resurrection, a week later, he said, you come. He said, you feel my hands, my side. And he said, be not faithless, but believing. And this is what Thomas said. He said, my Lord and my God. Do you see what happened? All of these hardened hearts. I'll never believe. You'll find that in a moment of time, one vision of Christ will change their estimate of the Savior, and one sentence uttered by Christ will change their declarations concerning Him. Think now. The last thing we heard Nathanael say was, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And then, how do you know me? And the next thing he says after Christ speaks one sentence to him is this, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. That is why I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And the words of Christ can penetrate the heart of man and can reveal your innermost being, and you realize that you are in the presence of one who knows your down-sitting and your uprising. He knows your thoughts are far off. You realize that you are in the presence of the Son of God, and all of the skepticism of the past disappears. And in a moment of time, while you were saying, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? You say, you are the Son of God. This is what happened. And when Thomas saw him, he said, my Lord and my God. This is what happens when men scrutinize the Savior. Look at the world's preachers, and you will turn your back on them, and you will be disappointed in Christianity. But examine the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will find nothing wrong. You will be able to say with the Father from heaven, "This is God's beloved Son." And if the Father was well pleased in him, I am well pleased in him as well. I find no fault in this man. And that's what God is trying to do. He is seeking to present his sinless Son in all his perfection, and all his beauty, and all the hope that he instills in the heart of man. He says, "This is my beloved Son." And once you see him, then you see that all hope that was gone for salvation, all hope for earth that was gone because of the curse, all of those things now are turned around. And instead of a cursed earth, there is going to be a blessed earth. And now, understand, I told you that when man sinned, things started closing. The garden closed, the tabernacle closed, the temple was closed with that thick veil. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, the heaven already, having been told us by Christ, was going to be open, you find that they were open. But not only so, it says when Christ died, the veil in the temple was rent. And it says the grave, death that had covered man over it, swallowed him up forever. It says the grave opened. And once Christ comes upon the scene, the heavens that were shut are open. And the temple that said to man, "Stay out," it is open. And death that swallowed up all our loved ones and we'll never see them again. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life." And when Christ dies in anticipation of his resurrection, it says that the graves are open. And then those dead ones after Christ's resurrection came forth and appeared unto many in the city. And all of this is in reverse. You look at the Old Testament, and there is a curse and there is hopelessness, except for the few pictures that God gives us there of the anticipated coming Messiah. But in the New Testament, everything is reversed. And, "Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory?" And instead of staying away from God, we have become near to the throne of grace. And instead of being afraid to beseech God for anything, we have to go and beseech God to send our petitions to him that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And all of it is because of Christ. The Lord Jesus said, "You shall see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." And for the first time in the New Testament, we have the Trinity pictured, because we have the Savior in the Jordan River, and we have the Spirit of God descending as a dove, and we have the voice of the Father speaking from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And now, the Spirit of God who could come upon no man and remain there, but the Spirit of God who would come upon a man, and then the man would sin, and the Spirit would leave him. The Spirit was limited in what he could do with man. Now the Spirit of God comes upon Christ, and it abides upon him. And this is the message of heaven to John the Baptist. He said, "Upon whomsoever you see the Spirit descending and abiding upon him, this is he." This is the promised Messiah. And John the Baptist said, "I have seen, and I testify that this is the Son of God." So, this is the way things are now. Understand that they are open now. I told you, heaven is open. You can commune with God. The door of salvation is open. The veil of the temple is rent. There is access to the presence of God. And I wish I could tell you that heaven is going to be open, that the door is going to be open forever. But the same one who tells us about heaven being open, he tells us about a coming day in which the door is going to be shut. It's going to be shut again. You see, God's mercy is given to you and the earth for so long a time. But if man will not have the Lord Jesus, then the time of probation is ended and the door is shut. And what is frightening is this: that once that door is shut, some people are going to come then and say, "Let me in." And the Lord is going to say, "No. But today, I rejoice that the door is open. And if you come and say, 'Let me in,' the Lord Jesus, you're welcome." The door is open. the day. Christ is the ladder to heaven, and every blessing of God can be yours by faith. Trust Him. He wants to be your Savior. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful for our eternal destiny that is based in Thy Son. It is a destiny of hope and mercy and forgiveness. And we are thankful that You have found a man who was willing to come to earth and become a curse and to have God to forsake him to become poor that we might become rich, that God might be able to receive us back into heaven again. And Thy Son was willing to do all these things, and He has done these things. Our Father, we think of heaven that was shut for so long a time, but we rejoice that since Christ came, the heaven has been opened, and sinners have admission into the presence of God through faith. So, Lord, let us not be fooled. We see that sin shut us out from Thee. Let us understand that there is mercy, and let us not despise the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the long-suffering of God. But let us trust Thy Son as Savior, and then know what it is for You to call us into Your presence and for us to walk with You once more and to pray to You and to have You from heaven answer our prayers. Our Father, this is the day of hope. This is the day of salvation. Let us avail ourselves of it, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.